Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. And that's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had number shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what happened is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt. I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad, Cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come. I got in a huge tax situation in 2008 because my divorce was in 2005 and my accountant had gotten in cahoots, and next thing you know, my accountant died, and a girl that worked for him called my lawyer and said, we have a problem. She had found on the floor all my tax forms for 7 years, signed and with the checks stapled to them. So I'm thinking, I done signed and I done stapled the checks. Well, they were cashing the checks, keeping the money, and not turning in the tax form. They took the money out of the account that matched the exact, because I wasn't watching it.
So
like,
you could just see
$600,000 deducted.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's the check. Little did I know, it was some people taking the money out.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
How much money did that?
I ended up owing $22
million. Wow.
$22 million with the penalties. So now, listen to me, man. Me and my wife in 2008, I get the call. And the way I found out was my lawyer called me and said, hey, man, we got a problem. You haven't paid taxes in 7 years. I said, man, what are you talking about? I paid taxes. I've been writing the checks and all this here. Oh, man.
He said, this woman found your taxes in your accountant's office on the floor. Every tax check I had written and every was stapled together for 7 years, quarterly taxes, all of it. So he said, man, that's tax evasion. You can go to prison. And I said, what are we going to do? So he said, hold on, man, let me get some lawyers. So he called up some tax accountants out of Chicago. These boys was the best. And they set me down and they said, man, we got a major problem. He said, I got a friend working at the IRS. Let me take the first year. We took the first year and we sent it in. And he said, man, well, this is an old tax return. He said, man, we got a problem. He got more, but he didn't know it. And so we need a tax payment plan. So the tax payment plan was so astronomical that it was no way I could pay this. So the deal was, if you miss one payment, we come and seize all your assets and you go into jail. That was the deal. So the way I found out I was in real bad trouble was my accountants, my former manager, lawyer, got on a conference call to discuss it. But they sent out an email with the conference call number to my assistant. But it wasn't supposed to go to me. She inadvertently gave it to me. I wasn't even supposed to be on the call. So when I logged in, they were already talking, and I just didn't announce myself. And I heard them say, nobody can live under this amount of stress. There's no way he can pay the back taxes, pay his current taxes, and his living expenses. And I heard a guy on the phone say, what are we going to do when he goes to jail? And I hung the phone up. I went upstairs. I said, Marjorie, I said, Marjorie, we got a problem. When I explained it to her, Marjorie started crying. She sat down and cried. My wife cried for 2 straight days. She said, Steve, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to work. I took every comedy gig in this country. I signed every contract. I went to work, man. I worked every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went to every venue, the Verizon, Staples Center, MCI, Phillips. I sold out the Fox. I went everywhere. I stayed on the radio, man. I'm coming, sold out. I never missed a payment. And for 4 years in a row, I was sending $650,000 a month to the government, plus I had to pay my current taxes. I couldn't get behind on nothing, and I was living. So I was credit cards, running them up, paying them off. And finally, man, in 2012, I sold 49% of my radio company to iHeart. I got a check, man. I got me a check. And then, so I paid the government completely off to zero. And that was the first time, man, I could breathe. And then the pay-per-view, I said, let me get out of stand-up, because my wife said, Steve, you finna be a major TV star. You're going to have to stop telling the jokes you're telling, because you're going to ruin your career. Because she saw the political correctness turning. And so she said, Steve, you can stop if you want to. I said, baby, I can't ever stop telling jokes. It's who I am. She said, well, okay, but you got to watch what you say. And all of my TV shows are sponsor-driven. The radio is sponsorship-driven. I said, man, let me get out of this because I need time to go do more TV. And so I did one last comedy show, but I did it on pay-per-view. And little did I know, for $8, you could watch my last show. I had no idea how many people was going to tune in for that. I made a lot of money. It was the biggest single paycheck I ever made. And next thing you know, I was back.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of a, give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land. Okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions, and that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills, and then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat. It takes a lot less money to cool. It's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on, with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you.
People who live in towns and cities in Uganda and many other African countries have some access to grid electricity to light their homes and power their businesses. But many rural people aren't connected at all. But simply waiting for the grid to arrive isn't good enough for entrepreneurs like Moses Akera. He recognizes there's a good business to be made harnessing the power of the sun.
I really prefer solar to be used in the community like this because it remains the property of the clients. You don't pay bills and you don't buy fuel like somebody using generator.
So solar energy is the best option for many rural Ugandans. But being new to the industry, many solar retailers like Moses were struggling to make their businesses a success.
We don't have capacity to advertise ourselves, our products. We don't have capacity to have quality technical training.
So the Rural Energy Foundation, a not-for-profit organization, introduced the Solar Now program in 2007. Its aim, to spread the benefits of electricity throughout rural Africa by providing training and support to existing solar retailers like Moses. And they encourage other retailers and entrepreneurs to start selling solar equipment from scratch.
Most of these retailers need to be supported in terms of training so that they can be able to run their businesses better. They also need support in terms of market awareness because so many people out here in the field do not know about solar, so we need to come and enlighten them.
As well as training, the Rural Energy Foundation loans retailers portable demonstration kits, which they use to drum up business in local markets.
What we're trying to do is these people are off-grid and they do not have access to electricity. So we're trying to show them how solar can improve their lives. For instance, we try to show them how they can make money from solar. For instance, here with us we have a shaver, so they can use this to have barbershops. We also show them how they can use it to use light at their homes. See, when you have this light in your house, the children can study at night. They can use it in their shops to work longer hours, and they can use it at home.
If retailers want to use the Solar Now brand, they have to commit to providing high-quality installations and good after-sales service. The Rural Energy Foundation helps them achieve this by training solar technicians.
We're trying to get the entrepreneurs to sign service contracts So when they sell the product, it also comes with after-sales service. Let's say they have to check to make a phone call to the customer after a certain period to check if the system is working. And then till after some time through the service contract, they also have to go and actually do the inspection of the system.
The Rural Energy Foundation has trained over 200 retailers in 9 African countries. So far, they've sold 57,000 solar home systems and 36,000 solar lanterns. They've helped at least 400,000 people, saved nearly 5 million litres of kerosene and 12,000 tons of CO2 each year. Basil Okelo is impressed and has decided to buy the equipment from Moses to set up his own solar barbershop and phone charging business. He's taking advantage of a credit scheme which helps entrepreneurs buy equipment from SolarNow retailers to get their businesses going.
SolarNow is giving me a loan. I'm going to make a down payment of 25% now. Later, in 3 months' time, I'll make another 25%, making a total of 50%. Then the remaining I'll complete within a period of a year.
With his system now installed, Basil is optimistic about the future.
Because this is a new investment I'm going into. I have never been into this business before. But as I see, I have the expectation that I'll make money.
Moses is growing his solar retail business too. He already had a shop in town. With support from the Rural Energy Foundation, he's now set up a small village branch to cater specifically for his rural customers.
Rural Energy Foundation is very important to us. If they help us training technicians, we shall be in position to expand all over.
We hope that others will also adopt the private sector development approach. We don't want to be unique. We want to spread the word that this is a really efficient approach to get the technology diffused deeply into the rural markets.
The Rural Energy Foundation plans to expand into other African countries and broaden its range of sustainable technologies. Solar panels are now becoming a common sight here on homes, and shops buy them as well to run radios and offer phone charging, increasing their income and enabling people to communicate. And to everyone's delight, the local bar has installed a fridge powered by the sun. The owner is pleased with his investment.
Yeah, we're happy. Of course, it's cold. The beer tastes better. And so I get more customers.
Okay, today, our topic is how to pay off a $50,000 debt. Now, we laid a little bit of groundwork yesterday when we tackled $30,000, and 2 days ago, we started off with how to pay off $300,000. So today, we're going to go in, we're going to review a little bit from each one of those days and tackle today's how to pay off $50,000 worth of debt. So we got student loans, balloon payments, mortgage payments, reverse mortgages, whatever you need $50,000 for, we're going to break it down on this. So we'll be right back in about 2 minutes and 50 seconds.
Bye. Mike, today's live stream topic is how to pay off a $50,000 debt, get out your pens and papers, or whatever you record on. So, a lot of the topics that we're talking about here, it's in our scrolling marquee online at our Blog Talk station platform, because that's what we're broadcasting on right now, Blog Talk Radio. So it's in our scrolling marquee, the notes that we have. And let's see. Bring somebody into the call. All right, there we go. So, all right, here we go. How to pay off $50,000 in debt. Fundamentally, now you can plug in any number you want. Yesterday we did $30,000. 2 days ago we started at $300,000 a day. $50,000. That I figure that's a number a lot of people can relate to, particularly in Western countries. Okay. First thing, mindset. You need to. And by the way, we're talking about paying off debt without borrowing any money. There's no borrowing money in this particular system. All right. So the very first step is, you know, how are you going to pay off this $50,000? Well, you got to get your mind straight. Start thinking in the right direction in a matter of minutes or moments. So mindset. So there's some basic, what I consider fundamental rules that can apply to anyone. Some people might accept it. Some people might not. But first thing is, there's no such thing as a lack of resources. Because you're going to have to organize or reorganize your resources to pay this debt off, particularly if you don't have a penny to pay. It appears that you don't have a penny to pay right now. So first thing is, there's no such thing as a lack of resources. I'll repeat it again. Matter of fact, you can make it an affirmation. There's no such thing as a lack of resources. Now, you know what? I even recommend that as I just mentioned, an affirmation. Even if you don't believe it, just keep on repeating it. Now, this might help you believe the statement I just said. All right, particularly when it appears you don't have any visible means of paying this $50,000 back today. Is, once again, I'll repeat it, there's no lack of resources, but what there is a lack of awareness on how to get whatever you need, and a lack of resourcefulness. Once you become aware of how to solve a problem, all right, and once you become more resourceful, and you might think, now, if you don't consider yourself a resourceful person, and resourceful person basically is somebody that can come up, first thing, they work with whatever they have. You know, a lot of people limit themselves because, well, man, I can make this $50,000 if I had this or if I had that. No, a resourceful person works with what they have to make ends meet. So there's a lack. So although there's no lack of resources to reach this goal of $50,000, there is a lack for many people, which can change instantaneously. That's what I'm saying. This is all mindset. That's where you have to start out with your mind. You got to work on yourself inside before there's an outer result. So there can be a lack of awareness on an individual's portion, or if you're in a comfort zone of people that they're just unaware of how to do it. And then a lack of resourcefulness. So you might want to partner up with somebody who's more creative or more resourceful than you are. But anyway, so those are the only two things that is going to prevent you from getting this $50,000 debt that you need to pay off. All right, now, what we're going to do here today is we're going to and I call this debt, this whole topic, debt elimination literacy. You know, the buzzword going around for the last few years is people need to become more financial literate. Well, part of financial literacy is debt elimination literacy. That's a subset of that. All right, now, after you get your head straight, and one of the first steps of becoming more aware of how to tackle this $50,000 debt and being resourceful all at the same time is you need to decide on or select a business model. You need to select a business model, something that you can plug in and just follow the steps to get the $50,000 plus that you need to reduce or eliminate the debt. All right, now, I've come up with three. There's probably 3,000 or 3 million ways that you can tackle this, but I've come up with three, and they're pretty simple. I have a 20-day business plan to pay off a $50,000 debt. I have a 60-day business model to pay off a $50,000 debt, and I also have a 120-day business model to pay off a $50,000 debt. Now, let me explain the 20, 60, and 120 days. There are 30 days in your typical month. We're in February now, February 1st, 2024. Now, we don't have 30 days in this month. Of course, last month we had 31 days. But typically in a month, you're going to have 30 days. And in a typical month, no matter how many days that are actually in that month, there are 20 business days, Monday through Friday. 5 times 4 is 20. So we're looking at, all right, in a typical month with 30 days, you got 20 business days, and I figure you need about, you know, the weekend or whatever 2 days you select to, you know, recoup, regenerate, reassess, and then go from there if you need to correct anything. So if you want to eliminate a $50,000 debt within a 30-day period of time, that's why we have a 20-day plan. Everything we're doing is based on 20 working days. Second thing is 90-day period of time, 3 months, 12 weeks. We reduce that down to 60 days, and then for 6 months, which is 180 days, there's 120 working days out at 180 days, all right? So we're going to start with, matter of fact, let me, before I go a little bit further on, getting your head in the right place. Now, typically, I don't bring out religious or spiritual things here, and I'm not now, although it might seem like it. But there are two ancient documents, I believe, that can help you get your mind in the right place to tackle this $50,000 to be paid off in 20 days, or within 30 days, which you'll do it in 20, or 60, or 120. And if we go to, there's two documents, ancient documents, the Jewish Torah, which Jewish people use, that's their holy book, their scripture, and then the Old Testament of any version of a Bible that you want to select, King James, whatever you want to pick. They're essentially the same book. All right. Now, I'm just using this as an example of how you can get your mind straight and get some clues on how to tackle this amount of money, $50,000 in, you know, the time period of 20 days, 60 days, or 120 days. Now, let me go pull it up on my phone. And I'm not a pastor or priest or nothing like that. I'm just a regular guy who, if it wasn't for online, those are the only services that I haven't stepped into a church and I don't know. It's been well over 10 or 15 years. But, you know, I do catch something online every now and then. But that's not about that. We want to take a look at the first chapter of Genesis. That's if you're going with the Bible, or if you're in the Jewish Torah, let me read it, and if my phone load this thing. Okay, here we go. All right, this is all, but you know, get your mind, because you got to get your head straight before you can tackle this. And get what you increase your confidence before you as you tackle it. All right. Genesis 1, very first sentence. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Whether you believe in a higher power, God, whatever you want to call it, okay, going from this one sentence out of the Torah, which is an ancient document, and Genesis, which is an ancient document as well. The first sentence, God's job description is he's a creator. Now, for those who believe that, this is very important. Because since it says somewhere in here that we were created in the image and likeness, therefore, that's part of your identity too. If you're going to tackle this, you're going to have to put on your creator's hat. Now, there's a whole lot of things that you can create. Pies, cakes, golf clubs, tiny houses, cars, but everything that is visible came out, was created by somebody. So you're going to have to, in order to tackle this amount of money, you're going to have to put on your creator hat. In other words, sit down and think, what am I good at making, manufacturing, or creating? It's all the same. All right. That's the first sentence. I consider the clue. All right. The next thing is when he went through the days of creation, he's working. God worked for 6 days and rested the seventh, on the Sabbath. Okay. That's the second thing. After you find something that you are decent at creating, all right, you're going to have to go to work and make it happen. I repeat again, there's no borrowing money in this, what we're talking about here, getting this $50,000. All right. Number one, you're going to have to create something. Sit down and figure out what can you create now, or what can you learn how to create. All right, and then the next step is you're going to have to go to work. All right, now, to wrap your head around this a little bit longer staying in this book of Genesis, after he created Adam and Eve, before, he created everything. And, of course, this place is called Eden. Some people call it paradise. I call it the Garden of Abundance. The Garden of Abundance. Now, in this garden, if you read through this, you know, the description of it, everything, God told Adam, you can eat anything off these, you know, fruit-bearing trees. And if you look up online, how many species of trees exist on planet Earth? There's over 70,000 species of trees. Out of that 70,000 plus species of trees, all right, there are over 3 trillion trees that exist on planet Earth this first day of February, 2024. Over 3 trillion trees. So there was probably more back when Adam and Eve went out. So God said, you can eat of any of these fruit-bearing trees, but you got to leave one of these trees alone, and that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat any fruit from that tree. Now, what happened? This is another way you can wrap your head around this, because you're going to have to get your head straight first in order to tackle the technical parts of this $50,000 that you're going to have to raise within 30. You got 20 days, 60 days, and 100. You know, you got to get your head straight first. Now, out of these, once again, you got over 3 trillion trees out of 70,000 species of trees, and you're told, hey, man, you can partake and have a feast with all of this, and you can't eat it all. Just leave this one tree alone. I call that the tree of lack. Now, in the scriptures, they call it the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay. But for this sake of conversation, the tree of lack. But when they focused, Adam and Eve, when they focused on the one tree that they didn't have, which is the tree of lack, and ate of that fruit. Now, what's some of the fruit that's off the tree of lack? Doubt, skepticism, gossip, low self-esteem. Once you're eating those fruits, lack of self, you're eating the fruit of self-confidence. Lack of self-confidence. You're eating the tree of doubt. You're eating the tree of negative thinking. See, all those fruits are on that one particular tree, the tree of lack. When you focus, and you can't focus on lack and get abundance. If you focus on abundance, you're not thinking about lack. So in order to get this $50,000 in the allotted time, you got 20 out of 30 days to get that. That's the first exercise we're going through today. And we're touching on this every day. No matter what kind of topic we might do later, at the top of the hour or the first half hour of our live streams, at least for 10, 15 minutes or 30 minutes, we're tackling how to reduce some type of debt. That's one of the things we're doing on here on out. We're offline participation as well. All right. Just get that into your head that if you got to raise this $50,000 within the next 30 days or at the longest, six months, which will give you 120 days, although there's 180 days in 6 months, you got to have your fundamental mind, your psychology's got to be intact. In other words, you can do it. You just have to become aware of how to do it, you have to become aware of how to do it, and you have to either become resourceful or partner with somebody who has a resourceful mindset, somebody like a MacGyver, somebody that can take nothing and turn it. As a matter of fact, that's another clues bomb from the creation story. The creator took nothing and turned it into something. What we mere mortals had to do is we had to take what we have and turn it into something. Woodworkers do this. A woodworker can look at a tree and see a bed, a chair, a table, anything you think of that is made out of wood, that's how a woodworker looks at a tree in a forest. Take something, take raw materials, and make it into something. That's what earthships are about, those of you who know about earthships. Earthships take things that people threw away and then turn them into houses. places that, where people can live. But that's a whole nother podcast. All right. So let's get to $50,000 in 30 days. All right. Now, in order to do that, our first business plan is going to be the 20-day business plan. All right. So what we're going to do is take let's whip out our calculators. $50,000 divided by 20 days, that means that we have to earn $2,500 a day. We have to earn $2,500 a day. Matter of fact, let's go on, let's hit this, let's go up to the next one, and then we'll come back to the 20-day thing. $50,000, if we're doing the, we didn't need to do it in 12 weeks, then that's 60 days. $50,000 divided by 60, that means we need to earn $833 and some change a day. $50,000 divided by 120 days, that means we need to earn $416 a day. All right, so now let's go back to the first one, $50,000, and we got 30 days to raise it. So $50,000 divided by 20 days, not 30. Remember, we need to have 2 days to chill out, reassess stuff. But $2,500 a day. So first question, once again, awareness. All right. What could you do to earn $2,500 in a day? There's an infinite amount of ways to do it. And the next thing question to ask is, after you decide on what, and it could be baking cupcakes, cookies, selling toilet paper, building, you know, tiny houses, cabins, making cars, anything. Anything that you see visible, including the clothes on your back. Can bring you $2,500 a day. So you need to put that out there for your awareness. What can you do to earn that amount of money in a day? And the next question is going to, because there's no lack of abundance now. There's no lack of resources. There's no lack of resources. Keep that in mind. There's only a lack of awareness, so you got to become aware of what you can do. And then number two question is resources. All right. I mean, what resources do you need in order to make the $2,500 a day? One of the and I'll use what we play on here all the time, and I played it today, solar cabin. Lamar Alexander built a cabin by himself in 2 weeks, 14 days, by himself. As you heard it out of his mouth, some of you have heard it a zillion times already, it cost him $2,000 to build the cabin. That's the cabin. And then to electrify it with the solar, you know, panels and all that, so you can watch flat screen and all that other stuff, you know, microwave TV and all this. Total $5,000. All right. Now, he built it for himself to live in, him and his girlfriend. Now, he could have easily turned around and sold that cabin for $10,000, $15,000, maybe even $20,000, even $25,000. $25,000is an affordable price for many people to pay. All right. So let's say he built the, you or him, you built this solar cabin of your own for $5,000. And then, let's see, you sold it, let's see, where you sold it for, all right, let's make the figure $20,000. and 20,000 minus 5, so you got a $15,000 profit. Oh, you know what? Let's do it this way. 20,000, you sell it for 20, and no, 15, and then you clear 10. You clear 10. So you would need to build five of those. In other words, no, you're missing a day. You miss it by a week. You need to basically sell it for maybe, let's get it up to, okay, if we built it, we built it for five, sold it for 20, minus 5,000 that we had to put into it. And if we build, now he did it by himself in 2 weeks. I'm going to suggest part of being resourceful is get a team together. Get a team together. Because for some of you who might be in need of $50,000 right now, and the reason why you're stressed out and you're panicking and whatnot, because number one, you haven't realized, you haven't become aware of the fact that there's no such thing as a lack of a lack of resources. There's just a lack of awareness and a lack of resourcefulness. So once you need to become aware of, if you can't do this by yourself, and you can't borrow any, there's no borrowing money in this, remember now, you're going to need to form a team. Another central figure in the Bible, Jesus, and I'm not proselytizing here, I'm just using this as a practical example, before he's given any credit of performing miracles, the first thing he did was he got 12 people together. He didn't get them all on day one, but you're going to get a team of like-minded people together, people that will cooperate. He had to get every miracle that he performed, he had his team with him of 12 and sometimes a lot more than 12. That's being resourceful. You might not know him right now, but hey, Facebook has got over a billion people registered on that that come through there on a monthly basis. If you don't know anybody right now, get on Facebook and make some friends. Anyway, so you're going to have to organize a team. And a team that you can, and let's say, if you organize a team of five to seven or five to nine people, okay, five to nine people, that you can build at least one, that you can build a tiny house within a week, just in a week, in your 5 days, and you put it on Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist or something like that, and you're clearing $15,000 a week. Then if you do that once a week times four, by the time your 20 days is up, you've made or netted $60,000. You take $50,000 out of that, and you extinguish that $50,000 debt. And then you got $10,000 left over. Now, out of that, you know, you might want to split that up with the people that helped you, you know, create that $60,000, your team. And that's just doing one a week. And that's really not a difficult thing to do. If you have a team, once again, a lot of people get stressed out because, no, the typical job that you get is not going to be able to pay that. No, if you get two jobs, that's not going to tackle that $50,000, not in 20 days, or not even 180 days. Because out of that 180, you're going to take 120, you're going to work. All right, you're going to have to organize a team. All right. Now, we record all our podcasts, so you want to, you know, if you need to just play this over and over again until it sinks in, or you can reach me, 425-520-0605. Maybe I can help you flush you through on whatever you're working on. Now, let's see. Chris, are you still there?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, thank you, Chris. I did my rant. Now, Chris, he helps people, and I'll let him tell about what he does, with steel frame buildings. So, Chris, share with us what people can do if they decide to use if they decide to put together a small little cabin that they want to build for resale, but they have no experience. I'll tell you, what can you teach them?
Well, that's the beautiful thing about working with the material I have. You don't have to have experience to be able to use it. And you can, if it takes you longer to build, you don't have to worry about the weather and messing with your wood getting wet. Our material doesn't absorb water, and it won't rust either. I happened to build a house with a 13-year-old and a 16-year-old 4 years ago. And after it was stood up, it was taken down because it's permanent or impermanent. And then I laid it on the ground for 4 years, and then I picked it up and took it to Chicago and built a tiny house to show them that they can get their homeless off the street. This material, you need a screw gun to put it together. You put a half-inch screw in, so it's a very small little thing. You don't need an air compressor, and you don't need an air nailer, and you don't have to shoot 3.5-inch nails to hope they'll hold it together for you. And it's an ABC 1-2-3 way of building. The way we do it, if you order a package from us, everything will be pre-cut for you. All you have to do is put A where A goes and B where B goes, and it continues to build just like that. And if you know your ABCs, you don't need to know them all because we're not going to go to Z, but if you know your ABCs and your 1-2-3s, maybe up to 10, you got this thing whooped. And it weighs half the weight of wood. It's twice as strong. So it gives you an easier way to work with something. You're not struggling and straining. You don't necessarily have to have a crane to set the trusses. You can actually pick them up and put them on top yourself. But it's more about, you don't know what you can do, but you're capable of doing so much. And there's things out here in this world that you ain't even dreamed that you could do because you ain't never tried to. You need to find those things that you find joy in. Maybe it's not building houses, but you'd be surprised if you went and tried it and seen the reward of the social impact of what you did, not just for your pocket, but the impact to the community. Because your communities have kids in them. They have energy. They also want to learn. And if you make things fun, make sure you feed them. Okay, this is key if you're going to do any side project. Make sure whoever's working with you has eaten. So that way they're not thinking of their stomach, they're thinking of what you're doing. Because that is a big problem. And if you got 4, 5, 6, 7 people working, sit down and have breakfast together. Then go out and get started. You will be hungry at lunch. Feed everybody. When the day's over, maybe even feed them one more time. But if all you had to do is feed each other, they're going to feed you next week when you go over and help them. And
right.
If you sit and break that down, you know, and each of you, say you got 8, 7 people that all need 50 grand. You guys just sit down over the next 90 days, over the next 6 months, and every one of you have all of those 50 grands paid for, but you probably have something else that's bringing you residual income. You know, you ain't going to make it in your 9-to-5. But when you do these side jobs and these side projects, these projects take journeymen or masters of craft. You know, they charge a certain amount of money for things. We've got people that learned how to do this working for Randy Jones. They have a full-time job, but they put out a complete house a day out of each crew. So it's up to you on your multiplicity on how it is that you want to do, but just remember, you can create things for people they don't know that are there just by you giving them an opportunity to do something. Now you're paying them. Yeah, I've heard HLA say this. People don't want to do anything unless they're getting something out of it in return.
Right.
Well, attaboys don't always work. Okay, people don't want it just a pat on the back. They'd rather have patted their pocket. So if you make those decisions with people and you find those 4 to 7 friends and you guys decide, hey, you know what? I want to help you fix your problem and yours and yours and yours. Maybe they're not all the same, but I need y'all's help to fix mine too. But you got to be willing, right? And that's the part. We got to start communicating with each other. How many people do you know that possibly need help with something? I'll tell you what that number is. Everyone. There ain't a person out here to say their life is perfect and they need nothing. You know, so that's the part you have to look back at. Who do I know and what problems do they have? Now, a lot of them are self-inflicted problems. But if you gave them something else to do instead of that self-infliction, maybe you can help them through that too.
Kurt, I agree with everything you're saying. And I like that you brought up feed the people. Now, it is a whole bunch of inexpensive meals. When people sit down and break bread together, that creates a bond. And like I say, have something when you start the day. Midday, they're gonna want to eat. And then even, like you say, even afterwards, you might want to have something together with another opportunity. And if you've got, you mentioned this, Chris, if you've got, 6, 7, 8 people, whatever that number might be, all right, because as you mentioned with Randy Jones, depending on the day, he does 3 to 5 of those in a day.
Correct, with 70
so
people.
So if you help somebody, put it this way, if you help somebody pay off their debt or whatever they need to do, okay, then you're going to have the help. That's where that sitting down and breaking bread, that camaraderie comes, that can, you know, they can help you and will help you.
More than likely. If you help them, they got something out of it, okay? They're getting something because that's the whole point, right? You help them.
Right.
Now, at the same time, they don't have that problem no more, so they have time. Now, I ain't going to guarantee you that every person you go out there and help, they're going to help you because you're dealing with a bunch of people that don't care about you. The world cares about themselves. Now, we don't want that. We want to change that. And it works through our children because our children are only learning what us adults are teaching them unless they're around other children and they're learning what adults taught them. So we have a bunch of misfit situations going on. I'm not calling everybody a misfit, but at the same time, we don't have a functional family nowhere on earth. There's a dysfunction in every family. And if you don't think so, you are dysfunctional right there. We're not perfect. Human beings ain't perfect. But you're going to find people that you're going to help that won't come help you. Don't lose faith that you'll find someone that will. Because all it does is, it's not my job to judge someone on what they do. It's what I got to judge myself to be better today than I was yesterday. Now, by doing that, maybe I can make others better. Maybe I can open their eyes without pointing a finger. Just by them seeing actions that are happening. People talk a lot, but their words don't always have action, and they need to. And especially if you're going to use disrespect towards somebody and just run your mouth so that you make them feel bad so you feel better, take that diss away. Because if you don't put that diss in front of the word, you're not dismissing the words. That means your words do have meaning. But if you're just, you know, we want people to be positive. I just want you to realize just because you do go and help someone and they don't help you, don't get resent, you know, don't resent them for that.
Right.
Don't right. say, hey, you didn't help me and I helped you. Don't point it out. They already know it. That's the key to get them to, they have to realize when a person has its own realization, because they will think for themselves. No one will have a thought for them. But when you put thoughts in their head, do you want to do something good for them and then turn around and bash them because they didn't follow through? That did not help the situation. That's going to cause fuel to the fire. You're going to load a gun, and the next thing you know, you don't know what word is going to trigger it, and they're going to unload on you.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, Chris, we'll be back this week. In 2 months, we'll be right back.
Brother Greg Dredd with me, brother. Got that pure cake, no butter, no sugar. Asiatic, straight like my brother's soul. Yes, indeed. 7-Up cake, we got pound cake. And we...
Some of that pound cake.
Yes, indeed, brother. There you go. Thank you, brother. You have a good day today. Salam.
Today I begin a new life. For I am the master of my abilities, and today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
What?
I said, today I begin a new life. For I am the master of my abilities, and today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
Pillows, goose down, $35.
P, you a buyer or a seller?
What? Videos, homie. Videos, DVDs, CDs, Masterpiece, Charlie's Angels.
Look at yourself.
How many millionaires you got on, bruh? I count at least 3. Man, what the fuck are you talking about? P, look around, man. See what I see? I see money. Look at my man over there selling t-shirts. Brother over there selling pies and paper. Cake man over there. Everybody moving, making money. Right? While we standing still being broke. I figured all this shit out, man. All this. This whole world moves forward through transactions. Commerce, nigga. The exchange of goods and services. All the real baller successful folks are sellers. And all the broke-ass people playing catch-up are buyers. I ain't trying to go out like that, Pete. I'm going to be a seller. I'm going to get my own business. Change the game.
Okay, that little clip was from the movie Baby Boy. And matter of fact, for the people listening to this podcast, even on demand, I like, let's just do this little social experiment right now. How many millionaires are you wearing? Me, let me just speak from where I'm sitting right now. I bought the socks from Walmart. Whoever owns that sock company, I'm sure they make, they're millionaires, if not billionaires. Sweatpants, I got on a sweatsuit and all this. There's either a millionaire or a billionaire behind every stitch of clothing I have on right now. The phone that I'm talking on, I'm sure a millionaire or a billionaire made it. My laptop that I'm using for the broadcast or the podcast, which is Samsung, they're taking over $1 billion. Once again, I'm going back to what I said earlier. You got to get your head right. There's no lack of resources. But I'm not even going to get into wherever you're at. Look around you. But wherever you're at right now, everything that you have on, I'm sure it was. That person and or company is a multimillionaire and or billionaire. Now, if you're going to do these, you know, like tiny house or whatever you want to, whatever it might be, it doesn't have to be tiny houses or anything dealing with housing. You're going to bake cupcakes, cookies, whatever. I mean, if you go to the store and get you some Betty Crocker cake mix to make some cupcakes, well, Betty Crocker, I'm sure they take in billions. If you look at if you don't know how to make cupcakes or cookies or whatever, and you want to watch a Martha Stewart video or a cable TV show, well, Martha Stewart, she's a billionaire. She didn't start off that way. So I'm not talking about becoming a millionaire. I'm not talking about becoming a billionaire, nothing like that. I'm just saying there are people out here that are aware of what you need to do on how you can do it so that $50,000 debt or whatever it might be, or whatever you might need for student loans, whatever it might be, you know, you need to raise that money for. And there's no need to panic or lose sleep or anything like that. You just need to become aware by going to people. And there are plenty of people that will help you become like, just like Chris was speaking about, taking teenagers with no experience. Chris, what's that website where they can go to, where that, you know, the video where you had them in front of City Hall in Chicago?
Yeah, that's on YouTube on Horse Creek Haven. You type in Horse Creek Haven, and you'll find the first house built in front of City Hall on LaSalle Street. It was done October of this year, and it was done so you understand what you're looking at. That is the house that I built with a 13-year-old and a 16-year-old in Bloomington, Illinois. I took it apart, put it on my truck, drove to Chicago, bought a trailer sight unseen, met with three people I had never met, never touched this material in their life. They framed, I cut all the material to meet the trailer. They framed it all in 2 hours, and we took it downtown. I had a meeting with the mayor. I come down. You'll see me in my suit in the video, and you'll see the trusses laying on the sidewalk. I climbed up on that trailer and helped them set the trusses because they had never set trusses in their life, but they had that house standing there under trusses in 15 minutes. So anybody out there, if you can hold a gun in your hand, you can be part of it. If you can carry material over to people that do have a gun in their hand, you can be part of it. And this is the part. It doesn't take rocket science for you to turn around and blast off to you and the energy you have and the way you perceive what you see. I would rather you see these things so that you know what you're looking at. Because if you just looked at the video, you wouldn't know that those three guys that you're going to see at the end of it with their names and they're standing behind it, that they were there to show 100,000 people that don't have a purpose to give them one. And, you know, that's what this is about. So,
right. Now, Chris, that was a 60-square-foot, we can call it anything, cabin, sleeping cabin, whatever you want, a structure. Now, what could that, retail for? Chris, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. What could that 60-foot, let's bump it up to 200 square feet. Let's keep it at the 60. What could that retail for, that structure that you have on the website? What could that retail for?
They have one on that they built that looks like a teardrop, you know, a little trailer that you pull behind you. And it used that little trailer. You cannot stand up inside of it. It's basically the 60 square feet without the 8-foot ceiling height. And they wanted $30,000 used for that thing.
Okay.
So if you want to put the amenities in something, you could take that 60, turn it up to 96. 96 gives you a kitchenette and a bathroom.
Okay.
So, you know, just doing that extra 35 square feet and making it 8-foot wide instead of 6-foot wide, you change everything.
Right, so, yeah, because, yeah, you're right. They're in a, and people want a kitchen and they want a bathroom, so you're right.
So, yeah,
so now, with that, because it's got a steel frame, you don't have to worry about termites, mold, or nothing like that. What do you think that can retail for?
Probably somewhere $20,000.
All right.
Easily. Easily.
And that's something that a lot of people, more than half the American public, they can afford that. All right. And as long as I'm 6'8", so I can stand up in that comfortably. All right. So now, now about how much profit you think they can probably clear off of that?
It would cost you for all the material to do that around $5,000.
Okay, so we're talking about
$15,000.
$15,000. Okay. Well, once again, if you did one of those a week, and like I said, if you go to Chris, give us that link that we people can go to now. You'll see Chris is in the video, and you'll see the guys actually working on it in downtown Chicago. That was taken not too long ago.
Yeah, it was October 5th, and it was like I said, it was done on LaSalle Street, right underneath every one of those skyscrapers, and I was in a suit when I climbed up there and set those trusses. So
right.
I wanted to prove to everybody that was in a suit in Chicago downtown that they could spend 30 minutes during their lunch and change people's lives forever. But are you going to do something?
You know what, man, you just gave me an idea, because I used to go to a thing. They probably had these all around the country. It's Just Lunch, where people would go and just have lunch, but it was a networking type thing. So you just gave me an idea that we can have a function just like that, but we can lunch and build at the same time. Just thinking out loud there. Chris basically gave you the form. I mean, there it is. Imagine getting together for lunch, and you're creating something, and then this is something that we need to do, Chris, is do a live stream of a build like that, and then it's for sale during the live, so you can actually see it built, and by the end of the build, you know, you're going to probably have a seller. I mean, a buyer on that. And once again, if your goal is $50,000 or whatever, it's only limited to your imagination. But anyway, anything else you want to add on, Chris, before we knock off for today?
Well, I did want to discuss one thing. I had someone call me right before I got on the show, and I have a 40-foot shipping container in Miami, and I need a place for it to go.
In Miami.
Yeah, I think it's in Miami, but it's free for me to take, so I can pick it up and move it anywhere.
All right, I got a friend of mine that lives about 30 minutes, 45 minutes south of Miami.
Okay.
He lives in a condo apartment, but I'll ask him if he knows any place down there. Because I'm assuming that's where you want it, that's where it's got to go, right?
No, it can go anywhere. We can take it up to your 4 acres. I don't care. One thing I was thinking about is we took it to the 4 acres, we now have a storage thing to start with all the components that can't get wet. And when you look at these, or just put it somewhere down there around where you're at, that we have something that we can get. Because if you can get a deal on cabinets, on your fixtures, on all these different things, and you can get great deals. But you have to buy the clearance and have a place to put them.
Right.
So
all right, now
it happens to be something.
All right, we can discuss logistics because I got a driveway here. How long is your container?
I think it's 40 foot.
40 feet. Yeah, I got enough room for that here. And I'm here because up with the 4 acres up in Hamilton County, you still need somebody. I think, well, we can discuss that offline because there's nobody living there.
Right.
You don't want anybody to.
That was kind of where I was at, you know. If nothing else, you know, we take this thing, I turn it into a living situation, and I got a place to visit.
Right.
And we can very easily do that as well with part of it, you know, use 10, 15, 20 feet of it, make a sleeping situation,
right,
and still have 20 foot of storage.
All right. Well, that's what we were talking about earlier, being resourceful. So, hold on, I'm trying to get my...
Sounds good, my friend.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll call you later about after 6 today, my time.
Okay.
And we can discuss the logistics of that. On that, what's today? Thursday? So tomorrow, we're going to go back to 30,000.
Okay.
Okay. So tomorrow we're going to talk about how to pay off $50,000 worth of debt. $30,000 worth of debt. You know, that's what we'll be discussing tomorrow. It'll be a repeat of what we're talking about today, but if anybody wants to participate with ideas, please call in tomorrow. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.